This is exactly right.
What's that at the foot of my bed? It's spooky and kooky. I'm pretty sure it's dead. It's coming this way. Wait a minute. Hey, I'm ghosted. By Roz Dresfeles.
Please.
Hey, boo. It's me, Roz. I have got a fun conversation coming at you today with Amy Bruni, who this time is joined by Adam Berry. You probably know both of them from Ghost Hunters and, of course, Kindred Spirits, which their new season is coming out on the 18th of December. That is their sixth season. The show is so good. I love their approach to all this stuff. And so we get into it a little bit. No chip coffee this time, but crossing my fingers one of these days we'll get Chip on this show. One of the things that I briefly brought up with them on this episode is this idea of an egregore, which is something I've always been fascinated by. It just hasn't come up a whole lot. Maybe a time or two on this show over the past almost 3 years of doing it. But you know, it's basically this idea of can you come up with a ghost just by believing that there's a ghost there? And they did some experiments with it on Kindred Spirits a time or two. And one thing that's mentioned is the Philip experiment. We mentioned that in today's conversation. And I've known about this. I've read about it in books. And I don't know, have you ever heard of it? I'll tell you about it. Did a little research here. So basically, and most of this info is coming from a website called liveabout.com. And in the early 70s, 1972, the Toronto Society for Cyclical Research did this experiment with parapsychologist A.R. George Owen and psychologist Dr. Joel Witten. Basically, they wanted to create a ghost through communication, you know, with a seance. They wanted to make some contact. And so they get eight people together and they basically just came up with this ghost. They made the whole backstory, all these details. They said, okay, his name's going to be Philip. Philip Aylesford. He's born in England. 1624 was the year. He served in the military. He was knighted at age 16. They came up with this whole storyline that he was an ally to Charles II. He was Catholic. He was married to a woman named Dorothea. And then he meets this other woman named Margot and has an affair with her, falls in love with her. She gets accused of witchcraft. She's burned at the stake. Then he's all sad about it and he kills himself at age 30. In 1654. So that's basically the story that they come up with. So then they, you know, get together. You know, they're trying all these different things. They have one of the members that can draw real good. They do kind of a portrait of the ghost, Philip. Not really sure. Maybe a caricature like you get at a boardwalk. I'm not sure. Maybe a painting. I don't know. They do something like that. And it's a lot of meditating, focusing your mind on this Philip, you know, this group effort. Let's visualize, let's focus on him. And they're not really getting anything to happen. And then they have this idea, hey, what if we dim the lights down, you know, like they do in a seance. So they dim the lights down, and apparently that's when shit went down. Now, as I was reading this, a couple of different websites I read were saying that they were doing the good old-fashioned, like, you know, tap once for yes, tap twice for no. Although I kept noticing in these websites that they use the word rap, which we got this 1600s ghost rapper. I don't know. But then I had to look it up. Rap, another word, a synonym for strike, a hard surface with a series of rapid audible blows, especially in order to attract attention. I didn't know that. Sorry. I didn't know it. I know tap. I didn't know rap. Anyway, back to the story. So that starts happening, you know, one rap for yes, two raps for no. they start hearing other kind of sounds. They would hear a breeze or feel a breeze at certain times, different vibrations on the table. Allegedly, at one point, the table kind of stood up on one leg, like kind of tilted, and even moved on its own. They claim that the table levitated, and even a few times a mist appeared, but they never actually saw this, you know, human version of Philip as a ghost apparition, but that was kind of the goal. But nonetheless, that was the Philip experiment, which is, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people that would, you know, that analyze this case, they say that there's, you know, confirmation bias, that these people are like, you know what, I'm dedicating hours of my life with a room full of people meditating on some fake ghost, and I want results. So in my mind, I'm kind of, you know, you spend enough hours doing it, you're bound to be like, I think that was something, you know. So I think that's a lot of the criticism or what people believe was going on here was, you know, people confirmation bias. Or the other thing could be the ideomotor effect, which is something we often talk about with Ouija boards, that unconscious moving that you can do, not unlike it's believed happens with a Ouija board or a pendulum or that sort of a thing. So who knows? You know, it's certainly a great experiment, and it's been done many times since the Philip experiment, but it makes you really wonder, like, could some of these haunted places that we hear about have ghosts that are not even a traditional ghost? Who knows? Or, you know, some people might even say, no, that's not a ghost. That's a demon pretending to be a ghost. I don't know. Especially makes you wonder when you think about these famous places that have been around for forever, and there's just all these ghosts, and people say, you know, there's a little girl named Sally, and then there's no records anywhere of a little girl named Sally. I think that sometimes it could be that kind of a thing where people manifested Sally. I don't know if you believe in this kind of stuff. Why not? Very interesting. Anyway, I want to toss it on over to my conversation with them, but if I may do just a little self-promotion here up top. I'm going to be doing a show at the Improv, Hollywood Improv, if you're in Hollywood, on the 8th of January. Great little stocking stuffer, small, fun, intimate room. I'll be joined by a bunch of other comedian friends of mine, and we will not be talking about ghosts, but, you know, if you like me and you like my sense of humor around ghosts, just imagine all the other things I can make funny. You can get those tickets on the Hollywood Improv's website, which is just improv.com/Hollywood. And this week on Patreon, you could hear me talking to these two professionals, Adam and Amy, about various paranormal phenomena like Bigfoot, time travel, Ouija boards. It's always interesting to hear from people that really dedicate their lives to this kind of stuff. All right. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Amy Bruni and Adam Berry from Kindred Spirits. On with the show. I am joined back again with Amy Bruni and, for the first time ever, Adam Berry. Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
So good to be back.
You guys, I am so happy to talk to you. First of all, you are so busy, all of you. So I'm so grateful that you made the time, because you have just kept going this whole time, and it's pretty incredible.
Yeah, I know. I mean, we did have some downtime for a minute, but I think we have worked through this pandemic for sure. We've been all sure. over the place.
Yeah, there's been a lot of ups and downs. And it's so funny because people are like, well, how do you relax after like working and traveling so much? We travel. That's what we do. We travel and go places. So there's really no rest. You know, we just go out and have fun and travel.
Right. Because Strange Escapes, Amy, your paranormal travel company, that's back up. And you guys have been going places. And when I told people that you were going to be on, so many people were like, oh my God, we want to go on one of those trips. And people had all these questions. I mean, what do you guys have planned for next year with that?
Oh my gosh, so far. So we have a really great thing happening in Missouri at the Belvoir Winery. It's like this whole disco is dead weekend, which we're kicking off with like a disco zombie party. So that's gonna be
Yes.
fun. And then we're going to Europe. So we have a European cruise booked, which is our first time going there. So we're gonna be leaving out of the UK and going to Spain and France. So that's gonna be massive, and that's in July. So there's more coming, but that cruise was a lot of planning. It took a minute, so we had to get that one on the schedule.
Oh my God. Adam, are you going? Are you going to be at the zombie
Oh,
disco? What's going on?
yeah. Zombie disco is happening. We always try to plan our outfits, and I don't know if I'm going to do like disco zombie circa Saturday Night Fever, Studio 54. Like, I feel like it's going to be a Studio 54, rager accident zombie person. You know, he died on the dance floor. You know, something it's gonna be something like that.
I can't wait.
Amazing.
I've got thoughts. I've got lots of thoughts.
Oh, that sounds so fun. Well, see, when you talk about going to Spain and stuff, do you guys talk about that for Kindred Spirits, doing Spain, doing England, doing stuff like that?
Oh yeah.
We do. Yeah, I think this will be, I think season 7, knock on wood, when that happens, I think that will be our international season, or going international. We just weren't able to the last two seasons.
We've
Oh,
always
what?
dreamt we've always dreamt of like getting into, like Highclere Castle or something that's like been in someone's family for hundreds and hundreds of years, and we're looking for their relatives, like, and going through all that history and exploring manor homes and estates. I mean, let's do that and just pretend that
I
we're
would love
rich.
that. Yes.
Yes. Adam, you're in P-Town, right?
Yeah, I live in Provincetown with my husband Ben and our two Chihuahuas year round, believe it or not. My God.
Oh my God. I was just talking to, do you know who Raja is, the
Oh yeah,
drag
I
icon?
know her. Yes, I do. Yes,
She
I very well, more than you probably. Yes, I know her.
Oh my God, amazing. We were just talking on this podcast last week about her being in P-Town and the spirits of Provincetown. I mean, is that something you've experienced?
Oh yeah, I mean, I got I started, really looking for ghosts with my husband and a few friends back in like 2007 or 6 in Provincetown, because back then, our friends would get to winter sit these beautiful old houses that were, built in the early 1800s, and we would just go to the house and investigate ghosts. There, Provincetown is full of a lot of things, It's full of energy. It's full of ghosts. And it's so funny because like Ginger Minj was here all summer, and we connected through the paranormal. And I went over to where she was staying, and we, sort of looked for ghosts in her house. And she's a huge, like, she's started watching our show and is obsessed. And I it's so funny because I'll scroll through my Twitter of like who's following me sometimes, and I'm shocked at the number of drag queens that are following the both of us that really like our show. And I feel like there's got to be a crossover or something.
At some point, it has to happen.
Oh my God. Well, I'm sure we know a lot of the same people in that regard too. I know Ginger. I've worked with Ginger.
Oh yeah, she's so funny.
It's interesting that we're talking about that because, something that we talk about on this show a lot is LGBTQ relationships to the paranormal and representation. I mean, unfortunately, there's not a lot of it on TV, but I mean, it's amazing that you're out there. And I mean, do you have anything? Can you speak to that experience?
Oh, I mean, well, I'd like to. I think it's changed a lot. I mean, I don't think. I think coming out of the paranormal closet sometimes is harder these days. You know, saying I love watching ghosts and I believe in ghosts and aliens and all that, people are like, "What? You're weird, right?" It's sort of flipped a little bit in the last 10 years. But I do think, being part of the LGBTQ community, it's like we're sensitive to others' issues and feelings. And I think the way that Amy and I investigate, you know, we're sensitive to the spirits. Like we're empathetic about their situation and their plight, and we want to help them as a ghost community. You know, it's like, I think there's a lot of similarities. And, you know, sure, we can like bro ghost out. We can be a bro ghost if we want to and be like, you know, but I think for the most part, we're pretty chill. And it just works, I think. And I think there's a lot of people in the community that, you know, believe in that sort of spirituality and are open to more of those things.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like our fans, like when we go to events and things, I think it's pretty clear that especially the last few years, our fan base has gotten to be, I don't know, just a lot more open and different. I feel like when we first started, it was a lot of like, I don't even know how to describe it, but it was just very, very conservative, I would say. And now it's, I think it's a little, it's everyone, every walk of life is at our events. And I love that. Like, and so I think that's been really interesting. I don't know that TV reflects that as much, like who is on TV, but I think the events do really prove that.
Yeah. Well, and I think that with the way that you guys talk to ghosts and, you know, so much of your approach is, you know, understanding and trying to help, and you know, ghosts are misunderstood, and it seems like you guys really are able to, you know, have empathy to that, and I don't know. It's just, I think it's such a cool approach that you guys have. But
well,
you know,
yeah.
Another thing I love about your approach is the experiments.
Oh my God. This,
what do you got to tell me about this next one, or what can you tell me?
Well, we went really, so, you know, I will say that being on TV and doing investigations differently, as you know, as much as we can every week, because we do, you know, we do want to keep people entertained, but it also makes us think outside the box. And then, so sometimes we think of these really crazy things that I don't think that we would have normally thought of if we weren't trying to change it up a bit here and there. And so we do some really crazy things this season, but I'd say the one that takes the cake is the case where Adam dies, essentially. So he could probably speak to that a little bit more, but people are going to watch this one and think that we've completely lost it. But I would say that it worked.
Am I talking to a dead man? What is going on here? What,
he's a ghost. Died?
Yeah, this is probably the best EVP session you'll ever experience. first and foremost, we never do an experiment for the sake of just, you know, doing it. Like there's always a reason behind our experiments. There's either a roadblock that we have to cross and we have to think outside the box, or we've been given an opportunity to try something new. And that was this case. Greg Newkirk, our friend Greg Newkirk, was on this case with us. And, you know, he says, I have an experiment that will help us essentially get closer to the other side and make communication a bit more easier. And we needed that. We needed the help in sort of bridging that gap and making it easier to communicate with whoever this was. We were at Liberty Hall in New Jersey. And, you know, it was more of a meditation intention experiment. But, you know, I did drink some honey from that was found, you know, that was flowered. Wait, I drank honey made by bees where they got the pollen from a graveyard. So essentially I was communing with the dead. And then I can't give it all away, but it happens. And it was a weird, crazy meditation experiment. And then when I got out of it, it worked, I will say, but I also said, our group of people, the ones that we work with all the time, Amy, John, Chip, Greg and Dana, our core people, I was like, everybody has to do this. Everybody has to do this because it is a weird result and you think differently and everyone should be doing it. So that's probably the weirdest experiment we did. But we also did a lot of other things on other cases that weren't quite as far out, man.
Greg and Dana Newkirk, who people might know also from Hellier and who you guys are friends with and work with a lot, when you guys had that Salem episode, mm-hmm. and the devil card. That screwed me up.
Well, you should have been there. I mean, we were like thinking of like the mathematical odds of that even happening, which is basically impossible. So for people who didn't see it, Dana just, she was randomly pulling a card time and time again, and she just kept pulling the devil card. I think she did it like 4 or 5 times in a row. And, you know, it was that moment where we did have to think, though, like, this doesn't necessarily mean there is something evil here, but we, you know, it kind of led us down the path of whoever is here sees us and what we're doing as being devil related, because they were very religious. And so we had to, you know, again, think outside the box there. But yeah, that those are the kinds of things that can only happen when the new Kirks are around. So.
Well, and then last season, I think it was maybe the next episode, you had the Zombie Boy episode, which is another one that I have thought so much about since I saw, where you encountered something that weirdly we have not talked a bunch about on the show, an aggregor. Can you talk more about what that is?
Yeah, I mean, well, it's all theory. So, you know, we feel that sometimes there are entities that are created by intention and energy. So, for instance, if you go into a room and you say this place is scary, there's a demon, there's like something really dark and mischievous here in the space, and then everybody thinks the same thing and they go in and they're like, oh, looking for this dark, mysterious, mischievous ghost, there is a chance that it can just appear because you're sort of manifesting it. There's a great thing you can look up called the Philip experiment that explains why that works. But we, in this case, Zombie Boy, we thought that it could possibly be that. And so Amy, what did you say? You were like, let's make up questions. You're like, let's make them up.
Well, that's what they did in the Philip experiment. That's exactly what they did, is they basically infused the energy with traits and personalities and names and a history. And so that's what Adam and I did. Obviously, it took a lot longer than what you saw on the show. And our crew thought we had completely lost it because we just kept repeating the same things over and over again. But then when this spirit started reciting what we had kind of put out there as fact, it's something that I think a lot of people in the paranormal have played with or thought about over the years, because the Philip experiment is very famous, but it does open up a whole new can of worms when you're investigating, because you're like, am I dealing with someone who was formerly alive, or am I dealing with something that was created by people who keep coming here? So it's another possibility as we investigate that we have to rule out.
Because is it something that you can, interact with the same as like a living spirit? Can you get rid of it? I don't know. I mean, how is that different?
I mean, we did encounter, the first time we sort of encountered this on any episode that has been seen by the public was the Belvoir Winery episode. I think it was season 3, episode 1. But, you know, we imbued the space. We got people who were familiar with the space and really remembered when that location was happy and when it was in operation. And we sort of imbued the space with our positive intentions and energies to counteract the negative entity that had been created over all of those years. What's weird on that case, though, the reason why we discovered that it possibly could be an aggregor is because it didn't know what it was. We would ask what its name was, and it would say one of our names, or it started playing with our fears. Like Amy said, I hate growls. She doesn't like, you know, disembodied voices in her ear. And she said it out loud, and then lo and behold, it starts talking to her in her ear to like freak her out. And it's really kind of scary.
I think especially, you know, you guys do so much research, and I imagine that if you're researching a location, you're not finding anything. Do you think it's something that's more common than we might think?
I think now it is. I think that with some of these locations that are heavily investigated, I think one of the byproducts of that, we say this a lot, is that, you know, you have places where people are going in, sometimes large groups, over and over and over again. And these are investigators who all of them just sit in the darkness, just hanging on every noise, every experience, sometimes scared, sometimes speculating what's going on there. Like, just like they're very vulnerable. They're putting all of that energy into those places and then leaving. And I think over time that does something. You know, we always talk about how if you want to put positivity in your life, to, you know, infuse your space with positive thinking, you know, make a visualization board, things like that. So if you believe that that works, then why can't the opposite work? Why can't you kind of inadvertently infuse your space with something that might not be as positive?
That makes me like, that's the kind of thing that to me is like motivational speaking. Like, you could use that as motivational speaking to be like, think positive or you could create a demon living in your house, a zombie boy.
Yeah.
So be positive.
You can. Maybe that's why Adam and I are the happiest, cheeriest ghost hunters you'll ever meet.
Same.
I know. You know, I've caught myself recently like being like, nope, don't think that. What could happen? Like, be careful what you wish for. Stop doing that. Like, I've done that recently since that. You know, and we do it all the time now in cases. We try to put the energy out that we want so that it doesn't bite us in the butt.
Mm-hmm. When did you guys film this upcoming season?
Gosh, the summer.
April, yeah, it was the day after my second shot in April. April 27th or 8th we started, and then we finished for the majority of the episodes by July 1st.
Oh my God. So you guys did two seasons during COVID?
Yeah, the first one was, honestly, it was so nice, especially that first one. At first we were really nervous, but then we have such a small crew. And honestly, I think that summer, I think we all kind of took for granted how little COVID there was that summer. But it was just a bit of normalcy for us. It was very therapeutic. It was like, you know what, this is just like we always do it. And this is one thing that has remained the same, except we stayed very close to home. We didn't get on any airplanes or anything. This last season was, you know, it was honestly very much the same, but we got to start traveling again. Our whole crew, everyone was pretty much vaccinated at that point. So it was just like a whole, you know, it was even more normal, but it's helped me immensely through all this as far as anxiety goes and things. So,
yeah. Cause when I talked to you, it was in January, I believe. So it was in between the two seasons, and you were telling me how you guys were driving places for the first season. Or for, you know, for the first season during COVID. First of all, what is that road trip like, the two of you? Do you guys drive together?
No, we have very different schedules, because I don't get up till like noon and she's like up at 9 a.m. You know, ready to go. And so we do not drive together. We have to have separate cars because we do different things. However,
but also we're on very different paths, like when we're driving, because you're coming from P-town and I'm coming from Newport.
That's true. It takes me an hour and a half just to like get off the Cape to get going, so it just doesn't work. But so when we fly, sometimes we fly together, and that's always fun as long as there's alcohol on the plane.
Tomorrow we're flying bright and early.
Ooh, don't even question. We're going to Vegas tomorrow, and like, I know it's going to be 8:45, but I definitely am going to have like a screwdriver.
Oh my God. See, because I just have been picturing you guys on some road trip singing. I don't know what you'd be singing together.
Okay, wait.
Ghost Hunters was like that. Yeah. We definitely did that on Ghost Hunters.
Yeah, here's some inside scoop. So on Ghost Hunters, we might have flown to like the first location, but we drove everywhere else. And we would play games where we would stop at, like if we stopped for gas or whatever, we would each go in and purchase the craziest random like road snacks you could find. Gummy bears, like just weird stuff. And then we would challenge each other by putting them together and making you eat it. And then on a scale of 1 to 10, you'd have to tell me like 10 being the worst, 1 being not so bad. How would it tasted like, you know? And we're trying to gross each other out. So we did that a lot.
Yeah, it would literally be like Slim Jims and Sweet Tarts and Cheese Whiz on top of it. It was just disgusting. And eggnog. Push it down with eggnog.
I have old video of that I definitely could pull out and post at some point.
No.
So is Chip still doing things remotely for this next season?
He is. He did make it out for one. But other than that, yeah, he is remote.
So how is that different? I haven't gotten to speak with him, but I mean, what I'm curious about is like when he's doing these, when you guys are out there doing the investigations, is he sitting there waiting by the phone or what is he doing? Is he all of a sudden getting all these messages in his mind and then you guys call, like, how does it usually go from
we do like a walkthrough with him. So we use him once, maybe more, like it depends on the case. Like sometimes we'll need to call him back, but we usually have a time scheduled for him. And then we know Adam and I come up with a plan as far as how we're going to use him. But the thing is like Chip does remote readings for like, that's what he does at home all the time. Right. So he's really used to kind of keying in to a remote spot or remote person. But yeah, we use him usually once during the course of the week. For a couple hours, and there are times though where we're like, hey, are you there? We need to FaceTime you right now. So, but mostly, you know, we try to play stump the chip sometimes. It never works though.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes he does text us out of the blue, and we keep it in mind, you know, depending on like what he's dealing with. But I mean, I personally, and maybe Amy, I can speak for Amy as well. I personally prefer him in the space because you never know what he's going to say. And when he's in the space, you know, he's surrounded by something, you know, he picks up on everything. And there may be something hiding in the corner that we can't show him on the phone, but he's pretty spot on.
He blows my mind. I imagine that has to be so fun to, first of all, to be him and just be able to just, you know, baffle people constantly. I mean, can you tell me a story of a time when you've just been like, what? How?
Oh my gosh. Why? So the show obviously is amazing. Like he picks up on great things during the show. But like, what really freaks me out is like when he'll be like, I'm getting a read on you. Do you want me to tell you? And I'll be like, So I remember. So the craziest thing that ever happened was, you know, years ago, I was pregnant, but I had not told anyone yet. Like I was literally like just pregnant. Like it was very early to say a word. I had not told a soul. And I get a call from Chip, and Chip's a texter. He's usually a texter, not a caller. He calls me out of the blue and he's like, what's going on? And I'm like, nothing. And he's like, and this is, you know, like January or middle of winter, he's like, why am I getting a distinct mommy vibe from you? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, are you pregnant? I was like, no, I am not pregnant, Chip. And then I was like, well, maybe I am, but you can't tell anybody. And he said, well, I just need you to know there's a little girl who's been dying to get into your life. And then I had my daughter. Yeah.
So, wow.
Yeah, it was really crazy. Like literally the only people who knew were me and Jimmy. Like that was it. I hadn't told anyone. I hadn't even told Adam Berry.
Oh my God.
That's true. She did not tell me yet. No. I had to find out. Well, she wanted to tell me, but then I was like, I need to catch this train to go back to the city. You're like, fine, okay, go. And then I caught the train, and then the next week she told me. I was very excited because I was like, you know, I was like, yay, my God, this is gonna be so much fun.
Chip part of it was really crazy. So yeah, he's really good at stuff like that.
Oh my God. Hey, do you guys want to hear some ghost voices?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, it's time for
EVPs.
Or Evie, please. Okay, so this is what I do. Actually, I don't think I did this with you last time, Amy. You know, usually what I do is I go to YouTube and I find random EVPs, of which there are thousands, just floating around out there. And I have my guests, you know, what they hear or whatever. And then I give them multiple choice, the correct answer being what the investigator said. But I don't know. Every time I have on like pros like you guys, I don't know. I feel weird doing that. So what I decided to do this time is I found some that I believe I have captured myself.
Ooh, ooh.
And, I mean, who knows? Whatever. We'll see. So tell me what you think. I've got two of them here. This first one, this was, I don't know if, maybe you guys have been to this place. The Jerome Grand Hotel. Have you been there? It is in Jerome, Arizona.
Oh, no, I haven't been there.
It's allegedly super haunted. It used to be a hospital. Now it's a hotel, which what could go wrong with that?
That happens a lot.
Yeah. And I was in the bathroom, and I've played this on this show before, but I don't know. I think I captured something. I was in the bathroom, and I started video recording because the bathroom looked cool, and there was nobody in there. And then I heard this voice in the recording. So tell me if you, and if you don't hear anything, I won't be offended. It's fine. All right, here we go. Okay, it's like three syllables.
Okay.
Let me play it again.
Does it say who farted? Was it
no,
you?
No, stop.
Do you have any guesses besides that? That
wait, could do be it guess. One more time.
Okay, one more time, one more time.
That one's hard because I don't hear like the whole like ambient noise in the room and stuff. But
oh,
I don't.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But I don't really hear.
It was silent. It was like pretty silent.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Here, I'll give you some options. Is it A, you gotta move it? Is it B, I died real bad? Is it C, you guys stop that? No. Or D, I pooped here?
No.
Okay. D, it's D. It has to be D.
I'm gonna go with D because I thought it said I am here. So
you guys, yes, it's D. That's what I believe this ghost said. I believe it said, I pooped here. I'll play it again. Listen, I swear.
I hear the poop, okay? I hear the fart and the poop.
Oh, thank you.
It's hard.
I feel validated.
I mean, it's a good, I mean, if there's ever a message, if you want to use your energy from beyond, like, that's what you want people to know.
Yeah,
right?
I pooped here.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Okay, here's one more. Now, this is from a spirit box, which I usually don't play spirit box ones on here. First of all, they're usually horrible to listen to on a podcast, but
that's why we don't play them on the show. People are always like, why don't you let us hear it? And we're like, because all it sounds like is
yeah, right. Anyway, well, you guys do the Estes method these days, and that seems to be getting you guys some results.
Yes.
I love watching you guys doing that. So this is from a good old-fashioned spirit box. I was at the theater where I do this podcast live, and I've done a lot of campy drag theater here in LA. It's called the Cavern Club Theater at Casita del Campo, and they say it's haunted. And I have done spirit box there a couple of times, and every time, well, here's an example of something I think I heard. Of course, you know, it's a spirit box. Who knows? But okay, here we go. Okay, it's really quick. It's really quick, and it's just like a murk, murk. All right, let me play it again.
That's a hard one.
Yeah, it's so hard. I mean, I don't know. I think the hardest thing about these is that, you know, we need, usually, this is for future reference, we need like 15 seconds before and after it so we can hear what leads up to it, because sometimes that might be the end of a sentence that you're not catching that's happened previous or, you know, afterwards. That was hard though. That was hard.
Yeah, usually I look at this stuff and I only pick when there's just like a blip. Like,
it's, yeah, for sure. That was hard.
I know, it's a hard one. I don't think it's as good as I pooped here, but okay, here's some options. Is it A, impossible? Is it B, asshole? D, I don't know, or sorry, that was C, I don't know, or D, might as well go.
Wait, play it again.
Okay, okay, okay.
Impossible.
Oh, I heard
no!
Asshole.
Wait, do it again.
Okay.
Wait. One more time.
Okay.
Yeah, it says asshole.
I definitely hear asshole. It could be possible at the end, but because I don't hear the M, I'm going to go with asshole too.
Yeah, I heard asshole. Okay, now sorry that both of these are butt related, but
Adam loves to talk butt all the time.
Yeah, I like to talk poop and butt. Fine.
He knows how much I love it. So.
Well, apparently at one point it was your favorite because your daughter said, "Mom, is pooping your favorite?"
That's true. Because I asked her all the time, "Did you poop today?" I was reading a mom. Anyways.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Is pooping your favorite?"
We digress as usual.
Well, let me ask a couple of questions before we wrap up here from listeners of the show. Some questions from our Patreon, patreon.com/RozJespeles. The first one, let's see here. Chloe asks, "I've always wanted to know what it's like for Amy to be partnered with someone who doesn't believe in the paranormal."
Oh, I think she's thinking I'm Amy Allen.
Oh. Okay.
I'm going to go
okay. I thought maybe she was talking about your personal life. Okay, never mind.
Maybe that could be. No, that could be true. You know, yeah, that's true. Because, yeah, he definitely does not believe in the paranormal. You know, it's honestly, it's fine. It's kind of nice because he's not always, like, hounding me to come do all these events with me and stuff. We, like, have our own thing. So, you know, and it's also sometimes I can throw things at him and he'll have a very logical explanation where I might have gone like instant ghost. So it's never been a problem. It's kind of fun, to be honest. We kind of make fun of each other lightheartedly.
Adam, does your partner believe in this stuff?
Yes, very much so. And we sort of started, you know, looking for ghosts together when early on in our relationship, but he definitely believes and he loves to go on the events. And yeah, absolutely. He blames me sometimes for bringing, he's like, "Did you bring something home? This is weird." You know, we'll get into an argument. He'll be like, "You're possessed from the last case. Get out."
That is such a funny thing. Like most couples, it's not, "Did you bring a ghost home?" Or it's like, "Were you cheating on me? Did you bring something?"
Yeah. He's like, "What did you do? What did you do?" I know.
That is so funny. Okay, Christina asks, "Has there ever been talk of a crossover event of kindred spirits and cheap old houses?" Oh my God, do you know cheap old houses?
That's... Yeah, actually we have the same manager as them. So,
oh, no way.
Yeah, so that would be amazing. And I bet maybe we could make it happen at some point. But I mean, I follow them and I'm always like, I look at those photos and I'm like, I would snatch that up in a heartbeat and I guarantee that house is haunted. Like you can just kind of tell, you can get a vibe from some of the photos.
I love that Instagram account. Okay, here's a fun one. Sarah Beth wants to know, if you could be a spooky fictional character, who would it be and why?
Spooky fictional. Oh my God, that's so hard. I've never been asked that question. I mean, I probably, right now, I'm going to say Babadook because he's a gay icon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he's a gay icon and I'm going to be Babadook. I'm going to be Babashook the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, a spooky. Can I be Shelley Duvall in The Shining so I can do everything different? Like,
yes.
You can't rewrite the narrative.
Because she makes so many bad decisions in that movie. I'm like, that is not what I would put up with.
Yeah,
that way I could just like get rid of Jack Nicholson and live in the cool old haunted mansion with my kid all winter or haunted
there you
hotel.
Go.
And I'd be like, finally. It would be
it would be a whole
movie.
Different story if it was you. If it was you in the haunted hotel. Okay, here's one more. This one's from our Facebook group. Elena asks, "I'm curious about what the most challenging location was for you guys to find the history. Are there places that have just had nothing for them, for you guys to go on so you can't figure out who the spirit was? Because you guys seem to nail it all the time."
Well, that's a lot of work that goes into that. What happens is, you know, we bring out a ton of history and then we just keep mentioning things to see what causes activity. So we don't show you that whole process, but it's like, you know, but I think probably the more challenging places to research are the bigger ones that have a lot more history, like Waverly Hills, for example, because there are hundreds, if not thousands, of deaths that took place there. And you're trying to figure out who is the spirit in front of you, you know? And so those are probably the most challenging.
We also hit roadblocks sometimes where, you know, we can't get into the historical society, or people won't, you know, won't give us information because they don't believe in what we do, or, you know, location, the deeds for the location stop because, you know, they were attached to another property, which we don't know what it is because they don't go back far enough. There's a lot of things that happen like that, that, you know, that people just don't, they don't, just don't know about, because it's sometimes it can be very hard to get all the info.
Well, you guys, the new season is coming out the 18th, right?
Yes. That's right. Yes. December 18th.
I can't wait. I was looking at some of the episodes that you guys have coming up. I mean, the first one, you're at a Masonic lodge, which I know like a little bit about the Masons, but it seems like a lot of those Masonic lodges are haunted. What's going on with that?
I mean, I think it's just decades and generations of rituals taking place within them. And, you know, honestly, you know, Freemasons, they really invest their time and spirituality to that belief system. And so I think that it just kind of energizes a place like that. And so this is kind of the perfect storm, because upstairs you have, you know, the Freemasons, but then downstairs was an undertaker's office for decades. So there's a lot going on there. And then there's now this antique store with all these crazy antiques brought from all over the place. So the energy there is very, very odd.
When you talk about it, like an antique store being haunted, so do you guys find, or do you believe that objects, you know, are holding in this energy, can it be the actual spirit of a human, or is it more so typically just like an energy?
I think I personally believe it can be both. I think, you know, objects hold energy. You know, sometimes, I mean, we collect weird things. Amy collects weird dolls, and those dolls are giving off some kind of energy for her to pick it up, you know, and for her to take that doll home. So I do think objects can hold energy from the past. I think last season we did a case in New Hampshire where the phonograph and the, you know, held energy of what seemed to be the family that was associated with the owners. And, you know, there was a lot of pictures in it. It was sort of infused with the family's energy, which I think was interesting. So I think it's both. But in this instance, there was actually, you know, something there trying to get our attention, almost like a cold case. It's bizarre. It's the most bizarre episode and premiere we've ever had. And we can't wait for people to see it.
There's another case, too, that involves a shoe, of all things, that will really make you question what kind of energy can be in an object. I keep telling people, I think that's the episode after the premiere. I think this is on Christmas. So
yeah,
I think that episode for me is in like my top three cases we've done. And I think viewers are going to feel the same, like the outcome, the energy, like what we discovered is just wild. So Christmas Day, you know,
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, cozy up to a little bit of us.
A haunted shoe. Oh my God, I can't wait to see what that's all about. Well, for people that haven't watched the show yet, and they want to binge before they, you know, watch the brand new season, where do you suggest people start? If they wanted to get a couple episodes in before then to get kind of, you know, what's the quintessential Kindred Spirit episode in your opinion?
Ghost Train. Yeah, Ghost Train. Actually, if everyone's following it, you know, the Travel Channel social media handles, we're doing the 12 days of streaming. And so we're actually counting down our top 12 cases from all five seasons to give people something to stream each day before the premiere. And there's a picture and like a little blurb why we think the episode is one of our top 12. But Ghost Train is probably our number one talk about case ever.
Yes. What's the scariest you guys have ever been?
Ghost train.
Ghost train, yeah.
I couldn't figure out. I thought I might be getting hit by a train at any moment. You know, right. It was just like, it was this crossover of, is a ghost doing this or is there a train coming? So we'll leave that cliffhanger. I made it, it turns out. But it was...
Well, yeah, and I think that and Waverly Hills was pretty terrifying. I mean, there are moments where we're a little freaked out. Let's just be honest. I mean, you cannot not get scared. People are like, oh, they're professionals. They shouldn't be acting this way. I was like, you try it. You try
seriously.
It. Sometimes we get really excited.
Did you get pretty scared this upcoming season?
There are a lot of moments that are unnerving. I mean, there's a back alley moment, and not that kind of back alley moment. There is a back alley moment.
That's
called
right.
Death Alley, where, you know, I put myself in a precarious situation. Again, not that kind of alley moment. But we do that to ourselves often, and I think we're crazy, but it gets results.
I think Sheboygan Asylum too. There were some pretty scary spots in that place too. It'd been a while since we'd done an old asylum, so it's nice to get back to our roots.
Yeah.
Finding your roots.
Yes. Well, tell everybody where to find you and all that kind of stuff. I know you have a lot going on. You have your magazine too.
Yes.
Oh yeah. The magazine's being reissued. Actually, the first issue is being reissued for December. It'll be out until March 7th. And you can find that anywhere magazines are sold or on Amazon, and you can get all our past issues on Amazon.
Yeah, and I think we have more of those coming out for 2022, which is crazy. But people can find, I have my podcast, Haunted Road, premieres season 2, January 5th, and then Strange Escapes, if they want to go on some adventures with us. And, you know, if they're not scared after hearing us, they can come hang out.
Yeah, totally. Everyone should follow us on social media too. Amy Bruni across all the platforms, and I'm Adam Berry or Adam J. Berry or the Adam Berry. You know, there's a lot of Adam Berries out there. So like just Google. We're there.
And then this upcoming season, people can figure out what we know so far is that there's a haunted shoe. There is some Freemasons, and there's a back alley, and we're going to figure out what all that is December 18th. And
exactly.
Well, you guys, thank you so much. It's so nice talking with you, and it's so nice meeting you, Adam. We'll have to chat
you
again
too.
Sometime.
Nice to meet you. Yes, please. We there's so much tea to spill, I'm sure. We'll have to hang out again.
Yes, please. Thank you so much to Amy Bruni and Adam Berry. I look forward to talking more with both of them. They are both so cool. Go check out their show. It was so nice of them to do this. And if you want to hear a little bit more from my conversation with them, click on the link in the description of this episode at patreon.com/RozDresFelez as I ask them their thoughts on Bigfoot and Ouija boards and, you know, a bunch of other stuff too. Are you subscribed to the show? Please be subscribed. Tell your friends about it. It's my Christmas wish. Rate it 5 stars on Apple Podcasts if you have a ghost story. Leave it in a 5-star review or email me at ghostedbyroz@gmail.com or put it in the Facebook group, Ghosted by Roz Dresfeles. Why not? Follow me on Instagram at Roz Hernandez. Come see me at the Hollywood Improv on the 8th of January. Not talking about ghosts, but nonetheless, having a good time. If you want to get a cameo from me before Christmas, do it quick. I think cameos are like the best gift ever for a loved one. I spent all last holiday season getting cameos for people from like my favorite reality shows and stuff like that. It was so fun. So you can get one from me. I'm just on there at Roz Dresfeles. So look me up. I'll be back next week with a listener episode. I love you all, both living and dead. But if I didn't ask you to haunt me, don't haunt me. Okay, bye!
Starburns Audio, a podcast network.